You are fortunate to be tuned in to Health and Happiness, a presentation of KGVM 95.9 and KGVM.org, and we are fortunate to have you. We are a weekly offering of information to enhance your health and happiness. The Public Education Committee of the Montana Psychological Association supports us, and KGVM is the community radio station airing the program. I am Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist, along with co-host Dr. Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. Welcome. We deal with issues most often related to mental health, but also deal with health and happiness in general. Today, another very interesting program is ready. Dr. Suzanne introduces.
We all know that getting older means losing touch and losing ground cognitively, right? But what if that's not necessarily true? Do we really need to lose our edge? Or may we keep our thoughts and memories and even grow them? In a landmark review measuring cognitive stimulation for older adults, the Journal of Gerontology and Geriatrics performed a meta-analysis of current studies and literature across the board. They had very interesting findings. They picked out 33 of the many pieces of research, highly valid research, and they reported from those articles, that research, that cognitive stimulation does improve cognitive functioning in older adults. So, what is cognitive stimulation, and how do we get it? It is simply putting your brain to work with new input and stimulation of all kinds. And today, we have a perfect way for you to enjoy cognitive stimulation and growth, or even, as the research shows us, regrowth. We have Ollie Lifelong Learning Team from MSU with us. Help me welcome Bobby Geis, who brings us Ollie, and Jim Tuscherer, a lifelong member. And they are bringing us cognitive stimulation. Welcome, Jim and Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we really like having this kind of program because it benefits everyone all around, and it's like going to university without having to undergo the exams and grades, etc. It's going and learning and being stimulated, and we're really excited for you to just tell us, first of all, for anybody out there in the listening audience, what exactly is Ollie, how does it work, and how does one get involved?
Great. Well, this is Bobby. I would be happy to explain that. How long do we have? No, I'm just kidding. So the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute is, we are one of 125 similar institutes across the nation, and we are all independent, but we share the same guiding principles and the same first name. So Osher is the last name of Bernard Osher, whose foundations has supported all of us to some degree across the nation. And for short, we call ourselves Ollie, O-L-L-I. So the Ollie at Montana State University, or Ollie at MSU, like others, we're a member-based organization. So there's a membership fee of $45 for an academic year. And we all are based on volunteerism. So our programs that we offer are created, not necessarily taught, but they're created by and for our Ollie members, So they're all volunteers that do that. We serve an audience of 50, those who are 50 years old and better. And we're all affiliated with an institute of higher education, whether that's a public or private institute. And our institute, being MSU, is also a land-grant institute. So it's a really nice fit for us to provide the community outreach. And like I said, we're all independent. And although we say, share the same name, there's a phrase amongst us Ollies that to know one Ollie is to know one Ollie, as we're also doing.
Well, I think you all are doing a good job of getting the word out there. We have a neighbor three doors down who is a very busy member. And then we have a neighbor right next door, Michael Smith, who's a scientist and a poet. He's going to present on Ollie, I guess in about a month or so. And so we really feel like there's a lot going on with Ollie. And you were mentioning that there is a fee, but did I understand, or am I incorrect, that there might be a scholarship if somebody had difficulty coming up with that fee?
Yes, we do. We have the Doug Young Memorial Scholarship, what is named after our longtime member, Doug Young, who's also MSU Emeritus Professor. And he loved lifelong learning. He was sort of the poster child. And when he passed away unexpectedly, his family and many, many of his friends and colleagues contributed to start the Ollie at MSU Scholarship. So we do have that, and it can be applied to our membership fee. It also can be applied to some of our tuition-based programs. But we have every semester we offer about 60 plus programs, and about two-thirds of those are, well, I should say not quite two-thirds of those are fee-based, and the other comes as part of your membership. So you get a lot of bang for your buck for the $45 for an entire academic year.
Excellent. And who can present? How do you find those who present these wonderful pieces of cognitive stimulation?
Well, I'll answer a little bit of that, and then I'll pass it on to Jim here, because we have volunteer committees, and they divide up between the different program types. So we have a committee that reaches out to the community to find people to teach courses. And those are like a shortened version of what you might take at the university. And many of those individuals that teach courses are current or retired university faculty or staff. And then we have a committee that finds individuals to present for our speaker series. We have other categories, of which one of which we have extracurriculars, and that's one of which your neighbor, Michael Smith, will be teaching with the Tang Dynasty course. So who teaches it? I think the common thread amongst anyone who teaches a course or does a lecture or a workshop or a tour is that they are a professional in that topic. And it may be that that's what they studied. It may be that that's what they taught for 20 or 30 or 40 years that's on some campus. But it's a wide variety.
It surely is. I've got the list here in front of me, and it's really impressive. I was noticing something I'd read about Ollie, that fall registration is now live. Is that still the case?
It is. We went live on September 6th, and we do have some hot ticket presenters and teachers, and some of our programs have filled because of that, and also some have limited capacity in terms of seating. But that's all noted on our website, which is montana.edu/Olli. And our one program we have that we always have room in, and it's fabulous, is our speaker series. And this is just a great opportunity to interact with our members and to be in a beautiful place. It's based on the Museum of the Rockies, and Jim helps find some of those speakers. So Jim, I can let you talk to some of those.
Yeah, it's a fun job to find people in the community willing to give like hour and a half presentations. We have, what, 8 of them during a semester, if not more. It's the venue is the Museum of Rockies Auditorium, which is a wonderful venue, easily accessible no matter what shape you're in. And from a hearing standpoint, it is just excellent. We had one last Monday. We're going to have them again on subsequent Mondays. The next one is Rocket Science and the Sun. The topics that Ollie comes up with during the course of a semester, whether in its speaker series or its courses or its other offerings, is amazing in terms of diversity and interest. I got involved in Ollie when I first moved to Bozeman about 11 years ago. Former name was Wonderlust. And I guess the reason why I got involved was my father. My dad retired at age 59, and he died at age 93. That's 36 years of retirement. And I watched him as he was retiring, and he stayed active. He was a member of foundations and committees. He used to go on Saturday mornings down to the county jail with his old English primers and teach inmates how to read.
I love hearing that. That's amazing.
He used to say that retirement is a great equalizer. Retirement puts us all in the same boat. We're all on the same park bench, whether we're retired president of an airline company, retired police captain, and so on. We're all in the same boat.
I like
retirement.
That.
Mm-hmm. Retirement puts us all in the same boat, and together we sense a need to have social contact with others while we continue to grow and learn new stuff.
Well,
those social needs,
yeah,
those learning needs mesh neatly with MSU's Ollie program. We learn interesting stuff together with friends.
Well,
so that's
and
that's
what you're doing, Jim, is very research-based. And we should pay attention because the research shows us that lack of cognitive stimulation accelerates cognitive decline. So when you described your father staying very busy and active and alert and integrated into things, that's what we all need to do. And having good cognitive stimulation in all of these studies improves cognition. And this is something interesting, both in healthy older adults or in those with dementia. So those who come and listen can gain and get back some of what they might have been losing by really paying attention to good cognitive stimulation. And the kinds of programs that you're offering, I think most anybody could find very fascinating.
Yeah, you're right. I end up talking to my children and my grandchildren about what I've learned. They actually put down their cell phones and listen, which is...
Now, that's rare.
That's rare, but that's mm-hmm. Ollie. That's why I do what I do and participate as I have.
I think that's marvelous. And the Rocket presentation sounds really intriguing. And according to the research studies, all types of cognitive stimulation are beneficial. So there are several things about Ollie, going and being with others socially and interacting, that's good cognitive stimulation. Listening to a new topic, making plans, keeping a calendar, all of those things are cognitive stimulation. And it's like exercise for the brain and keeps the brain very active, much like if you're exercising your biceps.
You know, my wife died 6 years ago, and it was a kick in the pants. But one of the things that really kept me going and kept me making new friends was going to OLLI programs, where I saw new faces and new friends, and it's really been kind of a godsend.
And that would mean so much to her to know that you still had ways to ease the transition, and that's of good note to anyone out there feeling alone right now. Here's an excellent opportunity to ease that difficulty along with other wonderful benefits. I was just going to say, too, that in checking out the research, whether it was a group or an individual exercise and cognitive stimulation, it made a valuable impact. So some of your offerings are online and some are where a person would approach it that way, and others are with other people. But I want to point out here that it's research-based, that both of those options are very helpful for cognition.
Right. And to add to that, I'm glad you and Jim both mentioned the social piece, because that also was recognized with the Osher Foundation as one of the guiding sort of principles of OLLIs, that is also an important piece to keeping our mind active and healthy. And when our committees, depending on which committee is designing programs, they try to keep in mind different topics or different genres of, so for instance, if the curriculum committee puts together our courses for the semester, or Jim's speaker series committee puts together the speakers, they sort of divide it up as a pie. And they say, okay, well, we're going to have some science, some art, some language, some culture. And they really try to make a point to keep that diversified, not only to have it be attractive to a broad number of members, but also because those sometimes are different parts of our brain. And it stretches us to learn these different things. And then we have other programs that are, like you said, they're online, via Zoom. Some of our programs are more physical. We have walking tours. We have tours where we all get on a bus or we meet someplace. Jim and I did a juggling class a year and a half ago.
What a disaster that was.
He did great. It was a good opportunity to do a lot of bending over and picking up.
Yeah. You know, there were only two guys in the class. I was one of them, obviously. And one of the younger people in the class came up to me about midway through and looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you?"
No.
What's wrong with him?
but it was fun.
I happen to have a juggling study, one of my favorite studies, because it's proving our point here about exercising the brain. In one study, this happened to be with younger adults, but it would go across the board, I'm sure. They thought, what is a cognitive task that we could do to show change in this one terminal in the brain that's very busy? And the bigger it is, the better you connect everything up. And so these people juggled 6 hours a day for 2 months.
Oh my God.
They measured this terminal in the brain in each of them prior to and following all of their days of juggling. Think of all the mental concentration, the physical effort, all of it has to be together and functioning and highly, as you know, Jim, together. And they saw a distinct difference in the size of the brain. This was one of the earlier studies where people were trying to dispel the older idea that the brain is set when you're born and you can't really change it. You just have to use what you have. Well, no, this is one of those first studies to show that we can build on what we have. And that's, I think, really what OLLI does for those who work within it and those who come and enjoy the fruits.
Yeah, you know, that term, that phrase, use it or lose it, is very applicable to our brain.
Yeah,
with, there's so much plasticity.
With juggling, I never had it.
You had to learn it.
But I love the effort.
Right. Yes. Right.
That's like me in biostatistics, Jim.
Oh. It was a really good, it was good humor therapy, though.
Yes. Oh, we had fun. We did have fun.
Oh, that's just excellent. Well, when you mentioned trips, that's one of the things I wanted to ask about. If you could tell us about them, what they are, and how people get connected with those. And then tell us some of your favorite ones over time. Let them have an idea of the span and scope of trips and walks and various exercises of that nature that you've provided.
One of the things that I enjoyed is we went to the Caldwell Mine. Am I saying that right? There's a gold mine near Caldwell. And Holly took us there on some buses. There were about maybe 40 of us that went, and we went through the mill, so to speak, and saw how gold got refined. And it was very, very interesting. I kept asking for free samples, and that was not forthcoming.
Good try.
But yeah, I kept asking, but that was fun. There are so many nifty, interesting, coming at you from the side type of programs that I can't, nothing else comes to mind. Right. But you, Bob.
So let's see, we had that. We had a trip around the to Red Lodge in the Beartooth area. That right. was pretty special. I started at OLLI not quite 4 years ago, and then COVID hit, so our trips were on hold for a few years. But they have started up. We have one that we've done at least once, sometimes twice a year, to the Centennial Valley. And that is just a beautiful, very unique, very intact ecosystem down in the southwest corner, not quite west as the Bitterroot, but it is gorgeous. And we stay at the Taft Nicholson Center with the University of Utah. They have a beautiful little cabin-based campus there. And we visit with different landowners and land managers, and our tour guide is a retired manager for the wildlife refuge down there. It's the home of Red Rocks Wildlife Refuge. So that's a very special one. We had one this spring to Lewistown, and it was all about central Montana grasslands and lifestyles. And we met with ranchers and all sorts of other entities in central Montana. I'm cooking one up right now for southeast Montana, so that should be really fun and have some really neat things with it. I think we had one just south of Billings. I can't remember, pre-me. So they are generally, they're guided. They're either guided by a volunteer guide or an individual who we pay to guide the program, that whose specialty is that topic or that area. And or we all go as a group with a leader, and then we meet a variety of different entities while we're there, like the mining trip. And I believe we designed one for the Butte Anaconda area, and I'm not sure. And that one might have been right around when COVID hit. So that will come back.
You know, we have a program called How It's Made. And those consist of upcoming, three of them, in the month of this month, and then October. Toll Hall, this is a company that designs and fabricates and assembles and supports gigantic custom trailers that serve the mineral extraction industry worldwide. We have a program coming up where we're going to visit Peak Ski Company and see and get behind the scenes information with regard to construction of their ski lineup. There's also one that I'm going to go to for sure. It's the Gem Gallery, a survey of Montana Yugo sapphires with Don and Jason Beatty, exploring the development and marketing of sapphires. Were my wife alive, she would go with me in a heartbeat.
Oh, all of this is so excellent, such perfect cognitive stimulation, and I'm really proud of this. Those trips give you so many different ways to grow and expand, and with socialization, with new vistas, with new information, and just with the conversations and being in new places. So, and I'm assuming all of these are either on or coming up soon to be on your website.
Yep, our website is live as of the 6th of, it was open to view a little bit before the semester registration starts. So yeah, it's montana.edu/Ollie, or if you get onto Montana State University's website and you just go in the search bar and type Ollie, it'll pop up to, and you can click on our site there. And it highlights it by program type. And so you can look at the different course offerings. And again, those are like miniature, shortened version of university courses. We have one on water resources, one on the dark ages of Europe from year 500 to 1,000, social and criminal justice, that one's online, American portrait, history of the Tudors, all the way to learning grammar fundamentals, which if you're a grandparent, that would be a great one. And Aunt Ellsworth did a similar course last semester. Did you take that one?
Nope.
Reading. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yes, I did.
It was great. And Sub-Saharan Africa, we have an online program. Oh my gosh, this is one. These two are one of my favorites. They teach for a lot of Ollies in California, and they Zoom their program to us. It's on Broadway Deconstructed, and they are retired actors and directors. And it is just a toe-tapping, really fun, informative, historic Zoom presentations with a lot of music, and it's pretty fun.
Last year there was a course. It was comparing the country of Canada with the U.S., and it was taught by a fellow by the name of Stephen Malley, who is a marvelous presenter. And he's upcoming next month with another new program. But it was comparing Canada with the U.S. geographically, population-wise, economic, their military, their alliances, their codependencies, U.S. with Canada, Canada with the U.S. But one of the things that stuck out for I don't know why, is that we were taught that approximately 90% of all Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S.-Canadian border. I that just blew me away when I learned
that. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
How big Canada is and how compressed the population base is along that border. And contrast that with the USA, and right. You look at Miami, you look at New York, you look at LA, you look at New Orleans, you look at Chicago, and we're spread out. They aren't. It was a fun class.
And we in Montana can go and visit pretty easily in Canada. So.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to point out another study that kind of fits in here, that when a lot of comparisons have been made doing research between older people and younger people, the younger people won almost every time. But then a group said, okay, let's compare healthy, active, busy older people with younger people. And the task that they decided to use for comparison was learning a novel task on computers. And so they had 20 to 25-year-olds pitted against 70 to 75-year-olds who were healthy, vigorous, maybe retired, much like Jim. And it was so fascinating that when they paired folks this way, the older folks beat them hands down. And they determined the reasons were likely life experience. You've learned so many things and so many tasks over your lifespan that now you know how to learn. So the other would be that you already had a good fund of information. And of course, a third one might be high motivation to beat out those youngsters. I don't know. But I thought that was remarkable that, you know, it shows the contrast with keeping up the stimulation and the activity and not. And it's just so helpful and important to keep up the activity.
Yeah, I do. Either of you, I can't recall the study, but there are lots of them, especially after COVID, about the effects of loneliness. But I do remember at one point somebody was saying loneliness is like the new smoking, you know?
Well, and it's so true. We have had psychologist after physician after all sorts of counseling people on the show. And one of the prime things they all emphasize is connectivity and the importance of your emotional, psychological balance. And so connectivity, socialization, Arliss mentions it all the time.
Yeah, loneliness is very detrimental at any age. And I always like to mention a study years ago by Yuri Bronfenbrenner, a child psychologist, and he was specifically referring to children, but it can be generalized to adults. He said, everyone needs someone who's crazy about him or her. And we have to be, we're social animals, we have to be with people. And that in itself is healing, educational, enlightening, counteracts depression and anxiety. And then you add the component that Ollie has of stimulation intellectually, new learning cognitively. You couldn't ask for a better arrangement.
In fact, there's one study about the children during World War II. There were many that were orphaned, and they were in hospital wards, and they had all the food they needed. They were changed regularly, and they had sustenance, but they kept dying for no known reason. And they finally realized there was not enough socialization, and they got volunteers to come in and hold them and hug them. So our need for socialization starts very early, and Arliss could help me with this other fascinating study about the monkey and a baby monkey. And
she's talking about Harry Harlow's studies of rhesus monkeys, in which unfortunately they divided the monkeys into those who had could be touched, had stimulation, and they provided the others with some kind of cardboard mother, perhaps with some kind of material on the figure. And it was obvious that the ones that didn't have the real stimulation or the real, I don't say human contact, monkey contact in this case, that could be applicable to humans, there was a big difference in the ones without the proper stimulation deteriorated in their functioning.
And in fact, one of those fake mamas had food, like a bottle, a warm bottle with their nutrition. But it was just a metal device. It was not cozy or comforting. And they would cuddle up next to the soft, cozy, comforting, warm one and not eat rather than go over there. So warm, fuzzy, socialization, closeness, interaction, connection. It starts real early and continues. We even lose the length of our word sentences, and we lose the ability to even interact on that same level when we get out of practice and we avoid. So we need to pay attention to this.
Suzanne, being a speech-language pathologist, is always talking about how with infants, they look for eye contact with the parent, the mother, and the touch, the eye contact, the speaking to them, even though perhaps what they say back isn't recognizable, is extremely important in the development.
You know, I had an experience similar to the phenomenon you've been talking about. The other day, I'm at the breakfast nook having graham crackers and milk with my 7-year-old granddaughter, who has blue eyes and blonde hair and is a terrorist. and I thought, and her name is Willa, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna try and tell Willa what I did the day before. And the day before, I attended a speaker series presentation at the Museum of the Rockies, taught by the former director of the planetarium there, a wonderful presentation on the James Webb Telescope. So I said to myself, well, why don't I try and teach Will about that? So I talked at length about the $1.2 million mile telescope that's away from the Earth, and how there are millions of galaxies in addition to our own. And I concluded by saying that wonderful pictures are sent back by this telescope showing the ever-expanding nature of our universe. And Will looked at me eye to eye and said, expanding from where?
Oh, what a question.
My 7-year-old granddaughter,
profound
physical genius.
Right.
And I said, I almost fell off the stool.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, people in this world have been asking that, where we came from, for a long, long time. And I attribute that conversation to Ollie.
Well, and I think that's something that she could remember, that she
right.
could bring, keep with her, and you will be reminding her. You probably need to write that one down, Jim.
Yeah, metaphysical Willa. Yeah.
That's
you say she's a terrorist? I thought our two grand
yes.
boys in New York City are the terrorists.
Yeah. Speaking of youth, the studies showed very clearly about aging and keeping very fit, that the younger you start participating in these kinds of activities, the greater change will happen due to your increased neural plasticity. So earlier intervention is so helpful. It can be helpful at any point, but much more helpful. So you all starting at 50 is probably a perfect time for us to determine that we're going to stay cognitively active and we're going to exercise our brain. And so tell us about some of the participants. What are some of your older ages that come along with the 50-year-olds?
Right. Well, funny you ask that, because it's flocked. So we serve 50 and better, but most of our participants, predominantly driven by when our programs are offered, which are daylight hours during weekdays, most of our participants are retirees. So they are generally between 65 and 75. We do have a lot of 80 plus year olds. Beth, I was talking last semester outside the museum with this couple, and when they told me they were both 88, I almost fell over. But just like all the thing, they were talking about all the things they did once they retired and what they've been doing, and they've been slowing down a little bit lately. And I said, well, like what? Well, we only rode our bikes to Helena last year. And then
oh dear.
So, you know, not only are they mentally curious, you know, they're physically active, not all of them, but, you know, and curious. But it's the whole gamut. You know, we have folks that come on the bus from some of our senior living facilities and senior living homes. And we have other folks that are determined to walk to everything that they can walk to.
Yeah, well, out-of-towners, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of out-of-towners. And actually, in line with the growth of Bozeman and sort of the grain of our state, we have, I mean, our membership has really grown, like 25% in the last 2 years. And
major.
Predominantly the new people coming into the community and retiring here because they want to be near the university. They've heard of an Ollie in other places. They want to be in the mountains. They lived in Chicago their whole life, and they want to live out in the country, and so they move here. But they don't know anybody, and they don't know the area, so the first thing they look for is, you know, what are some things that I can do to meet people and to keep my brain busy and active? And so we have a lot of new individuals, and we also have a handful of folks who are between 50 and 60, but they work at home now that it's so much easier to work remotely. And so they just swap their days, and they know that on Monday mornings they're going to take this course, and they'll work a little bit later on Monday night because they're working at home. It's like I said, it's mostly retirees, even though the mission of the Osher Foundation is 50 and better. But we are, more and more, we're getting folks that are between the ages of 50 and 65.
Mm-hmm. Well,
young.
I believe, yeah. Colonel Sanders was 75 when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken after a series of failures. And I myself surprised myself by running my first half marathon at age 64. So we never know what we can do. We need to just jump in there and not think in terms of numbers or age, but think in terms of activity and action.
May I add, this half marathon that she and I did was not purposeful. It was an accident, if you can believe that.
We're just trying to do a 5K, and we got in the wrong line.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do? We were in New Orleans in our shorts. We just kept running.
20,000 runners.
Right? Yeah. So, and I would have told you I couldn't do that. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to do a little 5K. But it was amazing. And after that, we've done 9 since then. 1 year, I won third. So
in our division, yeah.
The thing is that you never know what you can do, and you shouldn't limit yourself because of numbers.
You know, and our children remind us of that from time to time. I remember my mother sitting in a chair in the living room, and my middle son saw her and ran as fast as he could right into her arms. Kind of knocked her back a little bit, and she said, "Hey, you know, don't do that. I'm getting old." And he looked her in the eyes and said, "You're not old. You're just not new."
Oh, I love that. We ought to use that as a slogan. That's perfect.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm. Right, that and the shared park bench. Well, I want to say something, circle back about your comment earlier about, you know, we bring these life experiences and life wisdoms. And one thing that over and over we find is that the individuals that teach for us, especially if they teach in a university setting, love teaching for our audience because they are curious, they're engaged, they want to learn, they have all this life experience. You can hardly get out the room because there's so many questions. And, you know, we always have to sort of shoo them out and winnow out the participants from the presenter. But it's great. So it's a win-win for them because they get to have this opportunity and a whole nother level of appreciation that the public has for what they learn and what they know, what their research is in terms of if they're from MSU or other higher ed institutions. So it's a really fun win-win opportunity, and everybody loves learning a little bit more about people's history and what they know, and there's great never-ending conversation opportunities.
and we're learning together.
Yes, yeah. Which brings me to, I'm sure there are listeners out there within this category who've had a rich life experience. Maybe they've made movies. Maybe they've been on a ranch. Maybe they were a legislator. Maybe they worked on the train. Or maybe they found many treasures while emptying our trash, which is one of the most special services we all have. So how would they reach you to say, I'd like to present something at OLLI?
Right. Well, as a presenter, so there's different ways. One is our volunteer teams on our committees scour the sources, whether it's the internet or MSU or whatever. They talk to each other based on a certain topic they would like to have someone teach about. And then the other is when people come to us, and often it's an email at OLLI. To our email address, which is ollie@montana.edu, or it's through our form. If you go to our website, montana.edu/ollie, and you scroll down, there's a form where you can submit an idea or a proposal. And a lot of our ideas also come from evaluations from our members after a program is over. And we are always asking, hey, you know, what else do you want to learn about? And who do you know that could teach that? And that's where we get these, you know, random, you know, not just out of the university's Rolodex. We get these, hey, well, you know what, my neighbor, like, for instance, there's individuals talking about the history of ski areas and skiing. And this has been a passion of his. He has a book, and he's going to do a lecture about that next semester during ski season. And it's mostly because people thought that'd be interesting, and someone knew a neighbor, and so there's a variety of ways that people can reach out to us, or that our volunteers find people to teach for us.
I think I find the speakers really enjoy how warmly they are received by us members. They always comment on that, saying, you know, what a nice reception you guys gave me. And that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. I was wondering, as we were talking, if you occasionally, I glanced through and I didn't see it right up, have mental health experts come in to talk about relaxation techniques, or to talk about mental emotional needs and health. Do you do that kind of program, or have you?
Well, I guess I went to two places when you said that. We haven't done much for personal mental health. I'm trying to think if we did one. We've had a few folks talk about doing a presentation on the history of mindfulness and the research behind mindfulness. And that might be something that's going to materialize next semester. But what that reminded me of is that we have a free to the community forum that we do every month from September, the second Friday of the month from September to May. And it's called Friday Forum. And it focuses on a timely topic that is important to the community. And this one coming up is talking about urban camping and how that is going to be handled, or ideas for how to handle that and approach that in our community. We did have one on behavioral health last semester, and we had a handful of providers from the community serve on our panel. And it's over Zoom, so it's over the lunch hour, noon, the second Friday, so people can call in and listen, and then they submit their questions, and we have it moderated. And it's a that was a great conversation, because mental health is such a all communities, but especially in Montana, especially having so many rural communities in Montana.
Also, especially being first, second, or third every year for the last 20 or 30, and depression and suicide, I'm sorry to say. And I just read along those lines about this discussion of the homeless. I read this morning that over the last 10 years, the homeless population of older citizens has more than doubled and is growing exponentially, something like 7% up to 28% within the older categories of age are now becoming homeless and are without housing. So that is a topic that maybe we should all get in touch with, so maybe we could be part of the solution as well.
Right, yes, which is, that's one of the premise of the Friday Forum as well, is that, you know, help provide these educational opportunities for the public, including our members, so that they can become part of the solution and they know how to get involved and they can make better choices. Or just make more educated choices, I should say, and decisions or votes, depending on what the topic is.
Yeah, just information helps fuel what we might think to do. And so that's one thing that Ollie has in abundance is information. Well, we'd like, you know, we don't have a whole lot longer, but we'd like to go over again how people could reach you and talk about registration coming up. And would you mind going over that information again, Bobby?
Sure, I would love to. So you could just, if you go online, you could visit montana.edu/Ollie, which is O-L-L-I. And if you forget that part, just go on to Montana State University's website in their search bar and type Ollie, O-L-L-I, and our website will pop up. Our email is ollie@montana.edu. Our phone number is 994-6550. And then we have a brochure that goes out every semester that highlights all our programs. And we also, in addition to the website, look, the website is the most current information. But if you were to email us, you can request a brochure as well, and we will send that out as a hard copy.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'd like to review in the last few minutes that the earlier as you become an older citizen and perhaps a retired person, the earlier that you begin to actively pursue cognitive stimulation, the greater the benefits will be. And all types of stimulation are beneficial, from eating new foods in a new place or learning information you had no idea about before, or just talking with other people.
Or learning a new language if you can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it not only improves cognition and performance in normally older people, but even in those with dementia. So if that's becoming a problem, continue to look for every type of cognitive stimulation. And it doesn't matter if it's a short term, like a 1 hour presentation, or one of the courses that you present with Ollie. Both of those give great benefits in cognitive function. So we just wanted to review also that group or individual cognitive stimulation makes a valuable impact. So everything I see about Ollie and what it can do for us as we're retired and as we're getting past 50 is very much improve and develop even more skills than we ever could have thought about.
Well, we're really fortunate to have had the history of the previous organization, the Wanderlust, that transitioned to OLLI, and have Montana State University see the benefit in this as well, and to house OLLI as a program of the university.
Yes, and so how long, tell me again, when was OLLI founded?
Yeah, so Wanderlust was founded as a private, independent nonprofit in 2002. And then we secured the grant from the Bernard Osher Foundation in 2019, and we transitioned to an OLLI in 2020.
Excellent.
During COVID, how much of an interruption was that?
That was challenging. I tell you, my theme for the year and a half, because we all went online, and was that we are all in it together. Like, we're all on this ship together.
Yeah.
And it was great. Everybody hung in there. You know, OLLIs across the nation, their membership dropped anywhere from 20 to 50%, and ours dropped 6%.
Oh,
so we,
okay.
Yeah, we were dedicated, and the university stayed behind us and helped as much as they could. And people were just determined. It was great. And I was right there with them. And I mean, that's the last thing I had never done a Zoom call or anything else before that. So
a good growth,
to me.
Growth project for you as well. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
I guess the message coming from me is an equation that I'd like to relay to your listeners. And here it is. OLLI equals fun.
None of this deep research, but even though we have that and love that, it's the fun that really makes a big difference. Yes.
You bet that.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
We have another minute or two. Any other message or information that you all would like to be sure we get on this program?
None comes to mind other than to reiterate that this is a program that is helpful and healthy, educational, social, and fun. It just is a great thing for any retiree in the Bozeman area. It's inexpensive, you learn a lot, and you meet a lot of wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, yes, thanks, Jim. That was a great summary. We also, I just want to do a shout out to all the volunteers. I mean, we have over 70 plus volunteers that make this program happen. So we couldn't do it without everybody, and we couldn't do it without our scholarship support for some of our members. And so just a reminder, you know, that can be found on our website as well at montana.edu/OLLI. And we have things that are non-member based, like the Friday Forum, as well as things that are specifically for members. So there's a little bit for everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us with this stimulating conversation, and I've grown as a result, and our listeners as well. And we wish you a good evening, and we hope to join up with you and meet a whole group of new people across Gallatin Valley.
Thank you, OLLI. KGVM 95.9, we want all of you in Gallatin Valley to listen to this, check out OLLI, and go to kgvm.org, go down through the website and look up Health and Happiness with the archives of past programs, and be sure to look for OLLI. Good evening, everyone.